Okay, Wednesday, 5/28/25. This is a teaching called Grace, well, Grace Part 7, and this subtitle is Grace is Not a Formula. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit to you, then we'll look at some scriptures. Beginning in the Word of Faith movement, being in the Word of Faith movement for many years gives me an insight into just how in the flesh I was. Everything was a confession, a mantra, really. At least it was for me. I mimicked what my teachers did and did not get the results that they did, except when I would go to the Lord directly myself in all sincerity and laid my formulas aside. God expects everyone to seek Him, not just the leaders. Every believer must learn to get a hold of God for themselves. Jesus taught us that. This is Matthew chapter 6. Starting with verse 5 there. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. For verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So, the Lord wants us to seek Him, not just take their successes. It's great they have successes, but just because they have a testimony doesn't mean that it's going to work that way for you. Because most people, well, I'm going to try what they tried, and it don't work. Do not speak disparagingly about any of the wonderful faith teachers I read after. But I did not embrace the spiritual side of it, but merely the physical side of it. If I said it enough, surely it would come to pass. This has not been the case. The spirit of the matter is the case concerning faith, and faith is important, for it is what activates grace in a situation. But just like faith is not a formula, neither is grace. Both are spiritual forces that must be activated by the Spirit. There's no formula that I can tell you that will give you instant grace for any situation you face. But I will say that grace kicks in when you are pushed beyond your natural ability to perform. God's grace will get you over an obstacle that you humanly can't. Grace is God's strength and ability and power to perform when you cannot. It makes you look back and say, wow, how did I do that? That was an impossible situation, but I made it. That's grace. You can always tell. Jesus said this. This is Mark chapter 9. Verse 23. Jesus saith unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So what would be the opposite of that? Nothing's possible to you if you don't believe. Mark 10:27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. How does that come about? By His grace. It's activated by faith. What makes it possible? Let's get that in our heads. What makes it possible? We can even see it through the Old Covenant. Just reading the Old Testament, I read it through every year, and there's story after story of things that were done, that God's grace was at work. The most famous is when David slew the giant by faith when all the others ran in fear. God does not need our ability, just our availability. Our willingness to believe Him is seemingly impossible situation. Like in Mark 23, we just read. Okay, let's look at that. I read 23, but I want to read to you a little more of that. Let's look at Mark again, 14 or 9, just a page over. Verse 14 there. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Okay, with that said, what does prayer and fasting indicate? Staying prayed up and keen to hear from God when a situation comes across your path, just like Jesus did. That's how he operated. He stayed prayed up. While they were out there rowing and struggling or whatever they were doing, he was up in the mountain praying. He was preparing himself for what he might face. Okay. Paul said this. This is Romans 12:12. He said, well, let me just... 11's good too. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer. Instant. Right there means plenty. Instant. There's another one. This is 2 Timothy 4:2 that uses that word. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So what does that mean? Right there it means to stand upon or be present. This is how Jesus walked. That's what he was trying to teach the apostles to walk. That they stayed instant in season, out of season. That's the way Jesus was. He was tuned into the Spirit all the time to what the Spirit might say to him to do. In this case, the apostles could not cast out the demon out of the little boy, but Jesus could. Okay, when they came upon a situation, they handled it by the grace of God. If they didn't have anything, they didn't do anything until they did. That's the way we're to operate. If we don't have anything, we don't do anything. Like Paul with the slave girl. She vexed him for several days. Doesn't tell you how long, but it was long enough. Evidently, Paul had been praying every day. What is this, Lord? What am I going to do? What would you have me do here? Until finally, one day he said, cast that spirit of divination out of her. And that's what he did. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I wonder what that escape is. Grace. Grace makes it possible. In the vines, grace is described as bounty, the sum of earthly blessings, the power and equipment to do ministry. That's in the vines. Let me say that again. Bounty, the sum of earthly blessings, the power and equipment to do ministry. That's in the vines. Okay. The Old Testament or New Testament, grace has always been God's ability, the power and equipment to do ministry. In the Strong's, grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, our gratitude. Gratitude. Gratitude will kick in the grace. It truly determines the altitude, doesn't it? Whether you negate it and get negative and you don't get any strength or power to overcome, or you remain optimistic and by faith, you say, you know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, which is a scripture I use all the time. Grace is God's ability. It has nothing to do with your ability. It's not something you do to try to kick into gear, except you remain positive. That's what gratitude is. If you're a thankful person, you're not going to negate the grace. But if you're no gripe bag, yes, you are. Always a fussing about this or fussing about that, or always saying, I do this, but it just don't ever seem to work. Well, God can't work with that. Ain't happening. Grace and action in the Old Covenant. We're going to read one story. We're going to be done. 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll start with verse 1 there in 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. See, he had, I guess over in 17, he had stopped the rain for 3.5 years. There was no rain. Well, let me just look back here. This is chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according unto my word. Okay. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks, and peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab and cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey or peradventure. He sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. When the stones be he built, with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now remember, there's a water shortage going on here. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice to Elijah, the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked, and behold, there's nothing. And he said, "Go again seven times." It came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there rises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up," saying to Ahab, "Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He had quite a day, didn't he? chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." When he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's." And he lay and slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the world in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" In other words, he's depressed here. He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him that escapeth from the word of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." So what am I saying in all of this? Here was a man that did all these mighty things under the grace of God, but now he's all sad and depressed and all broken down and complaining to the Lord about, "I'm the only one. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." I basically said, "I'm fed up with you, Elijah. Go anoint Elisha to be stand in your room." See, it wasn't Elijah doing it. It was the grace of God that did all those acts. So that showed what Elijah, he was just a man like everybody else. I have one more thought. Stay on the right side of things and you won't even have to ask for the grace. It will be activated in your life.
James chapter 5, verse 17.
Okay, James 5, 17 for the record here.
Well, it just wraps up with you.
Yeah. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit.
Verse 17.
Elisha was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Yeah.
He's a man like us.
What I'm saying, though, the fact is, it has to do with our attitude. The grace operates. It's about like breathing. It operates in our life when we remain positive. We're saying, yes, the Lord is well able to do this. Not that I just can't make it. There's no way I can do this. When we get negative, then it short circuits the plan of God. In this case, here he is pouting. Lord keeps saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? Twice he said that. What are you doing over here, Elijah? He wrapped his mantle around his head and walked out pouting. Said, I'll find somebody better than you that I don't have to deal with this emotional up and down all around. Okay.